Welcome to the second episode of the Paranormal Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about the Great Depression, World War II, and the current situation with Russia. I have a guest with me today, my social studies teacher, Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Alex. I'm glad to be here. I think it's pretty cool what you're doing with the podcast, and I'm glad that I can help you out.
Yeah. So go ahead and jump right into it. So it's clear that we're going to talk about the Great Depression first and World War II. So it's clear that the U.S. involvement in World War II ended the Great Depression. It's kind of ironic because a war ended the Great Depression doesn't really make very much sense. But do you think the U.S. should have joined in the war sooner, or do you think they did it, like, on time?
I really don't think the United States should have got in any earlier than they did. Obviously, Pearl Harbor was the main reason why we entered World War II. Yeah. And with everything going on in Europe and the United States trying to recover, I think it was best that we stayed out. We were trying to stay neutral and stay out of the conflict. We were helping send supplies with a cash and carry program to Great Britain and France. But I think it was good that we stayed out until we ultimately were attacked.
Yeah, and we were at the same time as we were sending supplies, we were like analyzing situation, learning what we could about like Russia, and which communications back then weren't the best. They weren't like hit up Churchill and know exactly what's happening then.
Right.
It took a while to get messages through. And why do you think Germany ultimately invaded Russia and ruined the Axis powers?
Germany did have a non-aggression pact with the Soviet Union that was signed in 1839. But they did have plans of trying to split Poland up. But ultimately, I think that Hitler wanted to control most of Europe. And the German Blitzkrieg had gone through Western Europe, taking over France and some other countries in a matter of 6 weeks. So then he launched Operation Barbarossa, which he ended up using about 80% of his troops, supplies, tanks, and tried to go into the Soviet Union. And they did make it pretty far into the Soviet Union, but then winter hit. And
Russia was more prepared.
Soviets were able to move supplies from Eastern Soviet Union to the Western part, and were able to hold them off.
Yeah, and I think it was the Battle of Stalingrad that eventually got Russia to finally overtake the main, I think it was the 7th German Army, I want to say.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Battle of Stalingrad was in about a seven-month battle. And I did write down some numbers about that. You had 800,000 German, Romanian, Italian, and Hungarian deaths, and you had about 1 million deaths from the Soviet Union.
So
it was a pretty intense battle over those months, and that stopped the German advance. After that, the Soviet Union was able to push Germany back.
Yeah, and I think what happened was after the Soviets started to take over a bunch of land, Germany was like, no, we want this land. And then they were like, so we're going to take you, and then we're going to take it too.
Right.
So Hitler got a little power hungry there. Or I guess you call it land hungry. And was like, I want all of it. And it was his eventual plan to take over the world, I guess, which seems kind of classic villainish. But, I mean, it was his ultimate goal to rule the world.
Yeah, he did feel that Hitler did think that the Soviet Union would collapse under communism. He didn't think communism would last. He felt if he attacked that the people of the Soviet Union would kind of revolt, but that didn't happen.
Yeah, it kind of backfired on
him.
Do you think the majority of soldiers like U.S. and Soviet, and French, like, do you think they were happy to be fighting or proud to be fighting for their country, or do you think they didn't really agree?
And I know for the United States, there was a big push for people enlisting. It was it was more of a what can you do for your country. A lot of men enlisted. A lot of women entered the workforce for the first time. There was a big push. People were going victory gardens and doing things. There were recycling centers. So it was kind of a whole movement by the whole country. One of the few times where the whole country came together. So I think for the United States, I can speak, they were proud of what they were doing. They were there to help the people in Europe and also protect the United States after Pearl Harbor from Japan.
Yeah. And then you mentioned the women going into the workforce. There was a fire, like a major fire, that took out a big city or a big building and a lot of workers.
Yeah, the Triangle.
Yeah, the Triangle.
Factory. Yeah.
The Triangle Factory fire, and it burnt down. I think it burnt down almost a block around it because it was a huge
quite
fire.
A bit. And then they started changing some of the fire codes because of that.
Yeah.
Because they had blocked off
a bunch
the fire
of
exits because they were afraid that the women working there would steal some of the fabric.
Oh, okay. So we were still like non-trustworthy of women back then.
Yeah. They were trying to protect all their assets. And by doing that, a lot of people lost their lives because of they didn't follow the security measures that they or the emergency codes that they had in place.
Yeah. And then what do you think were like major turning points or major battles in the war?
Okay. Yeah, I looked up a couple, and one of the early ones I think that we had talked about a couple minutes before we started the podcast was the Battle of Britain. And that was back in 1940, after the war was really only about a year old. Like I said earlier, Germany had gone through and conquered France in less than 6 weeks. And they were starting to try to take over Great Britain. And this was mostly an air battle with planes. And Hitler changed his mind on what they were doing. The Germans' planes were going after the RAF, or the Royal Air Force, which was Great Britain's Air Force. Yeah. And then he started to bomb London instead, which gave the Air Force time to recruit, and they were able to shoot down some or a number of the German planes and protect the city, which ultimately kept Germany out of Great Britain, which probably was a big point in the war.
It was a major turning factor. And then I also think, like, we mentioned earlier, the Battle of Stalingrad.
Yes.
It kept Russia from being taken over, which Russia is a huge land mass in Europe. And if Germany would have had that land, they would have utilized it.
Oh, yes.
And it probably would have been the end of the war. Germany could have come out on top.
Yeah, with the Soviet Union staying in and fighting, it kept Germany fighting on two fronts. The Eastern Front with the Soviet Union and the Western Front with Great Britain, and then eventually the United States.
Yeah.
And with them having to basically split their troops in half and their supplies in half, it ultimately cost them fighting on two fronts.
It cost them, and they ended up losing the war because of their needing to split.
Yeah.
What do you think Hitler thought the Aryan race was the best? Because as far as I remember, he didn't really follow all of the Aryan rules himself.
Right. Yeah. you have the hatred of Jews, or the mistreatment of Jews, is called anti-Semitism, and that had been around for hundreds of years. There's been, you know, documented cases of Jews being persecuted throughout history. And this was just another time of that. And Hitler didn't really see the Jews as a religion. He saw them more as a race, as like a group of people. And he kind of thought, the way that he wrote in his book, he felt that the soul of a person was in their blood. And he felt that he didn't want the Aryan blood being diluted or poisoned. So when you look at the Holocaust, it was mostly Jews. Jews were the largest number, or the largest group that was targeted. But you also had people of African descent, people with physical or mental disabilities, political criminals, anyone who was gay or homosexual, especially males, anyone who resisted his movement or the Nazi Party was also put in there. But going back to focusing on the Jews, he didn't want the Aryan blood polluted. He was worrying that the downfall of Germany was because of Germans marrying Jews or people who were Jewish and having kids and diluting the blood. So he wanted to try to exterminate the Jews. And that was part of the reason that he went into the Soviet Union, is because there were a large number of Slavic Jews in that region, in the Soviet Union as well.
There were a lot of Jews. Do they think, since they were in I wonder if they thought because the Soviets, they were in a pact with Germany, it was the Axis powers. And I believe they thought, the Jews thought that if they went into Russia, they'd be out of the risk of Germany, because Germany and the Soviets had a pact.
Yeah, the Germans and the Soviets had they had a non-aggression pact that was signed shortly before the war started. But I don't think Hitler ever had any
peace with them.
I don't think he ever had any intention of honoring that.
Yeah.
Because as soon as the war started, he did move troops over that way. So I don't think that he ever really... He said it was to go into Poland, but then they continued
on. Yeah, they came.
I don't think he ever was... I think that was all part of his plan.
And to end up betraying Russia?
Yes.
Or the Soviets?
Yeah.
Calling them Russia. Why do you think is the ultimate reason that the U.S. and the Allies won the war?
The United States entering was a big turning point. With D-Day on the beaches of Normandy, when the United States came in, that was a big push. That started the push of moving Germany out of France. And like we were talking before, Germany having to fight on two fronts.
No.
The Italians were one of their bigger parts of the Axis powers. And just like in World War One, part of the way through the war, they had a change in leadership. Mussolini was overthrown. Mm-hmm. And the new government actually backed...
Italy out.
What's that?
Backed Italy out.
They stopped supporting Germany and actually sided with Great Britain and the United States and France.
Yeah.
So they went from an ally of Germany to a foe or an opponent.
Yeah, and that was probably major, because Italy was a big part in the takeover of...
Yeah,
Upper Africa.
Yeah, Northern Africa. Yeah, because the big three of the Axis powers was Germany, Italy, and Japan.
Yeah.
And Japan was doing a lot of the fighting in the Pacific.
Yeah. And then, what do you think Hitler turned bad after he went to he was a veteran in World War One?
Wait, say that one more time.
What do you think Hitler ended up going bad after he was a veteran of World War One, fought for Germany and was for their cause? Do you think he ended up turning so evil and against the world?
He actually fought for Austria in World War One, and with his book and with his ideas, he was gaining a large following through the Nazi Party. He went from relatively unknown, and he would give these speeches like in beer halls and in different places, and he just excited people with... If you ever seen any of his speeches, he's very animated. He moves his arms a lot. He raises his voice and yells a lot. And he just got people really excited about his ideas. And what was the other part to your question? I forget. I'm sorry.
And why do you think he turned evil or bad?
I don't really know. I don't know if it was easier... A lot of times when you have a certain target or you have someone to blame for the bad things that happened, because when Germany lost World War One, they had to pay a lot of reparations.
Yeah, they had to pay a lot of reparations.
And a lot of what Hitler said is they lost, and he blamed a lot of it on the Jews, on the Jewish people. And he used that kind of as a rallying point. to start all the propaganda in schools, you know, teaching kids to not like Jewish people and going on. There were other things where they would go out and target Jewish-owned businesses.
Like Kristallnacht.
You're right. Right, where they went through and destroyed a lot of businesses. And
yeah.
People were starting to move out of Germany. A lot of Jewish people were starting to move out of Germany a few years even before the war started because they saw what was coming.
They sensed it. They could just tell.
You know, the discrimination was there before the war started, before the Holocaust. So yeah. A lot of them started to try and leave. I even looked at a story the other day of a boat of about 900 Jewish people from Germany who were trying to escape the Nazi party, and they tried to go to Cuba. And Cuba would only allowed about 28 of the 900 some into Cuba. So then they went to Miami, and U.S. officials. They even sent telegrams to FDR, and the United States immigration would not allow them in. They even tried going up to Canada. Canada would not let them in. Eventually, the majority of them had to go back. Some of them, I think about 300 or 400, went into other countries in Europe. But like I Poland. Did read about 250 of them ended up dying in concentration camps that were on that boat.
Yeah.
So about a quarter of them that were on that boat that tried to come to
the U.S. and Cuba.
That were denied access ended up dying in the Holocaust.
Which is what they were trying to get away from.
Right. But, you know, when you have somebody like Hitler, you know, killing all these people, it doesn't start with killing. It starts with small discrimination. It mm-hmm. starts with legal mandates. It starts with propaganda, teaching people not to like them.
You have to get the popular opinion.
Right.
You have to make that idea popular so people won't start to persecute you for persecuting them.
Right. Because I've talked to my students before. If you think about Hitler put these things in place, but he wasn't doing the killing. He wasn't running the camps.
He had the Nazi party doing it.
They felt they were doing the right thing. And it comes over years of propaganda and hatred just being taught.
Yeah. He made people believe that what he thought was right. In his, as you mentioned, his popular speeches and beer halls and wherever he could, that people would hear him. He would go out and speak.
Yep.
All right, so moving on to like the current Russia situation with Ukraine. What do you think the reasons are for, like, all of them? Because it's mentioned they don't want them to join NATO, but what do you think Russia's, like, main or all of the reasons are for their invasion?
Yeah, I'm not a real expert on this area of the world, Eastern Europe, but I do know a little bit. Back in the day when the Soviet Union was there, Ukraine was part of the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
But in 1991, Ukraine broke away from the Soviet Union when the Soviet Union was when communism was
at its finest,
was ending, well, actually when it was ending.
Oh, okay.
In the early 90s, and it was going back to Russia. Ukraine broke away, and I found a quote by Putin who said Russians and Ukrainians are one people, a single whole. So of what he feels is that the Ukrainian people are Russian because they were once part of the Soviet Union or Russia. So part of that is him trying to bring the people back. And in that area of the world with Ukraine, they've had different governments since the early 90s. Sometimes the leadership is pro-Russia and they set up their economy as Russia is one of their big partners. And at times they elect leaders who are more pro-Western culture, and they align more with the European Union, the United States, and countries dealing with NATO. So the Ukraine has gone back and forth a few times with the leadership, sometimes leaning towards Russia, sometimes leaning towards the United States. And right now they have a pro, like we've talked about in class, Ukraine's been thinking about joining NATO, which would be a more Western organization.
Yeah, and Russia does not want that.
Right.
That would be very unhelpful to the Russians. Yes. And as I've heard it, Putin is like, he's leaning more toward like going back to the Soviet Union than leaning away from it. Like, say there's a middle ground, I think he's more on the side of going back to the Soviet Union.
You mean like with a dictatorship?
Yeah, and with
like
dictatorship. I think he wants to be the main dictator of Russia.
More totalitarian type of government than more free will. And yeah. I think the government does have a good say on their economy.
Yeah.
Whereas in Western culture, you have like a free enterprise where anyone can have a business and make
start
deals
a business,
with who they
do what
want.
You want. Yeah.
Whereas in Russia, I think the government controls a lot more of that.
Yeah, the government's already a little more it's a lot more like they're in control. Like they're
right.
The main head of things.
You do have some human rights violations at times with different groups of people that hopefully it doesn't happen here in the United States.
Yeah. And as of yesterday, Russia launched their official invasion and went into the groups of Ukraine that they declared as Russian because Putin wanted them to be part of Russian because they're like ruled by mostly pro-Russian groups of people.
Right.
So he declared them free even though they're Ukraine's territory.
Right.
Which, do you think Ukraine will be able to fight back from Russia?
I think Ukraine will fight back. I've read, because it just happened last night, where Russia started to attack. Ukraine has shot down some planes. They are fighting back. They are. One person on one of the accounts that I read today talked about he thought he was thinking about leaving, but he's also saying that he may have to go fight in the military.
No.
So that shows that they do want to fight. Like you were saying, Alex, you had back in 2014, there's an area called Crimea. It's a peninsula.
Yeah.
And Russia did...
They annexed it
and took it over. And the United States did put some sanctions, like economic sanctions, but Russia still controls that area. And then the two areas that were... that Ukraine kind of lost control of were taken over by pro-Russian groups. And that does happen, especially like in the Middle East, that happens a lot, like where you have a power struggle. It's happened in Venezuela, down in South America too, where you have different people in sometimes different countries will recognize different government groups.
And
sometimes
you have Afghanistan and the Taliban.
Right. Sometimes you'll have two groups that say that they're in charge, and oftentimes the United States and Russia differ on who they think, who they recognize as being the true leaders of the country. So Putin did say that he felt that those people were in charge, and he sent those tanks in as peacekeepers.
He said they were peacekeepers anyway.
Right, but that was the day before the actual attack. There was no firing, no bombing, and then it was just tanks rolling in. This time, like what happened last night, was tanks rolled in and planes were bombing, and there was damage done.
Yeah, and so I heard like Ukraine wasn't really, before the invasion a week or two ago, they weren't really preparing for it. They were still trying to deny it was going to happen. They were supposed to invade on, I think it was February 18th. Is when Ukraine said Russia was going to invade. So the Ukrainian president, Vladimir Zelensky, made that day a holiday of peace. He made it a national holiday of peace, trying to discourage them from invading, which they didn't do it that day. They eventually did it, a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And
I think a lot of the people of Ukraine didn't really think it was going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, we watched the CNN 10 where they were talking, you know, they had some soldiers there.
Yeah.
You know, watching out, kind of.
Like, they had trenches.
Out. Right. But a lot of the people didn't think it was going to happen.
Yeah,
they
weren't really preparing.
I was really hoping it wouldn't happen. I thought maybe when they put the peacekeepers into those two regions, I thought that would be it. I was really hoping that was going to be it.
I was hoping it would never happen, but I had that feeling I heard about it. I was like, they're going to invade. They're going to take it over. And then I wonder what's going to happen after that, because America and NATO is not just going to let them take it over and just have it for free.
See, NATO talked about protecting, because there are some NATO countries
around Ukraine.
Right around Ukraine, and they said they were not going to give up one single inch of NATO territory.
Yeah.
So I know England or Great Britain's already announced some sanctions. I think
we President sanctioned Biden a couple of days ago.
He was talking about putting some more sanctions, and I think they were going to do more, which hurts them economically.
Yeah, sanctions are like, so what they did, they sanctioned some more a couple of days ago after Biden tried to say that the Russian territories were under Russian control and on they're free and on their own. We sanctioned them. I think we sanctioned some major banks in Russia.
So. Yeah,
like in Crimea, so. I think we sanctioned some major banks to stop them, though they couldn't make money from us.
Right, that we wouldn't do business with them.
Yeah.
Which is going to hurt gas prices. Gas prices.
Yeah, I saw that. It was like, that's going to cause gas prices to go up even more than they already are.
I think
they
already said that the barrels are already up over $100.
Oh, dang.
Which is going to raise prices even more.
Yeah. And why don't you think, if Russia's already ready to, they have invaded, but they were ready to, why do you think they don't want them to invade NATO? Because NATO, they've already said they're not gonna send troops America has said they're not gonna send troops into Ukraine and fight. They'll send aid, like with supplies, but they're not gonna send troops. But then why doesn't Russia want Ukraine to join NATO? Because it's not really gonna hurt them that much.
Because I think a lot of it deals with economics, with trade. If Ukraine sides with NATO, then that opens up a lot of European trading partners. It opens up probably more trade with the United States. And any trade they do with Western, quote-unquote Western countries, it's trade they're not doing with Russia.
Yeah, so they're getting more money than Russia is.
Right, and Russia's not able to trade and send some of their supplies there and make money that way.
No. So who do you think will, let's hope this doesn't happen, but say it does, another world war breaks out. Who do you think would side with Russia? Who do you think would be, who do you think would side with Russia?
Yeah, I was kind of looking at that a little bit, and one country that could be China.
Yeah, I was thinking China.
They've had talks. There was with the Olympics just a week or so ago.
Yeah, the Olympics with the
diplomatic.
There
was a big deal made about Putin and China's leader being together, shaking hands, talking about trade, and talking about how with the United States, with us still dealing with COVID, having distribution issues, leaving Afghanistan the last few years, they're talking about us being weaker and that maybe Russia and China would kind of rise up to take that that title as maybe the most powerful, which is more of a general figurehead type of title than more just military might.
I don't think there's really any like major implications of that.
Right.
Do you think Vladimir Putin has the right to declare the portions of Ukraine? He declared them Russian or on their own, even though they're Ukraine territory. They're ruled by pro-Russian communists, but Putin tried to say they were free on their own. Even though they're Ukraine's land, do you think he should be allowed to do that?
That's something that's been done quite often throughout history. Like we talked about before, sometimes you have
the battle for power.
When you have the battle for power, sometimes you have military groups rise up in certain countries, especially in the Middle East.
Yeah, like Afghanistan and Pakistan. And
a lot of times you'll have major countries backing certain groups.
Yeah.
And for him, with Ukraine right now having a leader that's more pro-Western culture, wanting to possibly join NATO, yeah. when you have people there in those two regions that are pro-Russia, he's going to obviously support them. And even by rolling those tanks in there, I think it was yesterday or the day before. I forget which day it was.
He put the tanks in into those areas.
It was Tuesday? I think it was two days ago. That was just him kind of showing his might and trying to show that those people could take control of that land.
Yeah.
And when we talk about these European countries, we have to remember the size of it. Like, the whole size of Ukraine is the size of Texas.
Yeah.
And if you remember looking at the map, those two areas are a pretty small area of Ukraine.
Yeah, they're not like huge places.
Yeah, when we're talking, you know, it's not, it'd be more of like maybe in the United States, maybe the size of a couple counties. Is all the land that we're talking about here with those two regions. Was it Donetsk and Luhansk? Okay. It'd really only be the size of a couple counties here in the United States or North Carolina. But it is territory. And yeah, it's more of being bold and making that move, making that statement, I think, than anything else.
Yeah, and then again with the making the statement how last night they bombed a bunch of airports.
Right,
they took the first attack.
He probably did that knowing he was going to attack anyways.
Yeah, he was. So. He knew he was planning on it. He was just, let's go ahead and do it. And he did it overnight, just like he sent the first tanks in overnight.
Yeah.
He's doing it over the cover of night instead of out in broad day, which is smart, but...
Right.
Yeah, I think it's gonna escalate quickly.
It could.
Yeah.
I hope not.
Yeah, it needs to go back down.
Right, and I'm not a military genius or anything like that, but I hope that the United States stays out of it.
Yeah, and I think they will. I think they'll stay out of it unless Russia attempts to. Like, unless Russia ends up with control of, like, most of Europe and attempts to come after the United States itself, I think U.S. will stay out of it.
Right. I do have a friend whose brother's in the military, and he works on helicopters, and he was saying that he may have to go, if this happened, you know, if Russia did attack, that he may have to go over, which we've already sent troops over that way.
Yeah.
We sent Eastern Europe a few weeks ago. And if it just stays in Ukraine, if that's the only area he takes, it probably won't turn into a large-scale war.
Yeah.
But like NATO was saying, if they do attack one of those NATO countries, then the United States may get more, or be more likely to get involved.
Yeah, and if we put the troops in the countries around it, saying we weren't going to come in. But if you look at what the troops have been doing. They've been setting up, like, huge tents, like, long tents, food supply that could last, like, a long time, like they're preparing for something, which could make me think that maybe if Russia gets too power hungry, and after they take over Ukraine and try to go around, that's it. We're going to stop them.
Right. Like, that was kind of, I think, a reaction to some of Russia's when they were doing those military exercises in Belarus, which Belarus did allow Russian tanks that were stationed there to go into Ukraine. And then I think that was kind of a
turning point in the...
Yeah, it was like Russia did their thing, so then the United States and NATO sent troops there. It was kind of a, hey, we do have force too.
Yeah, it's, you know, like, a lot of it is just we're not just going to let you do it.
Yeah, it's positioning. One person does something, then there's a reaction.
Yeah, and do you think Putin is, like, scared of the U.S. and NATO? Like, he doesn't want to, I'll use a World War II reference, he doesn't want to awake a sleeping giant.
Right, you wouldn't think he'd want to.
Yeah, you don't think so, because that would, I mean, they have a lot of land. But they've had military restrictions on them for a while after. I can't remember when they got the military restrictions, but we were like limiting their military like amount of troops, and then they've been kind of building it up and breaking the rules for years now, so they haven't really been listening. And then I don't think he wants to mess with us.
I hope not. I hope there's not a large scale.
Yeah, because if we can't keep him out of, if we can't keep Putin out of, like, the countries around Ukraine, it could turn into, like, a large scale thing.
Right, it could.
Like, Germany started out taking just Poland and just the little Rhinelands around Czechoslovakia, and then mm-hmm. they ended up taking the whole thing, and it escalated.
Right.
Which we don't need a repeat of World War II.
And if you talk about the Rhineland was originally part of Germany.
Yeah.
But it got taken in World War I.
Like
Russia had lost,
like Ukraine.
You know, a lot of those countries around the Soviet Union, around Ukraine, were at one point part of the Soviet Union. But when communism fell, a lot of those countries broke off and started their own.
Yeah.
But a lot of those countries that were part of the Soviet Union are now NATO countries.
Yeah, so...
So that could cause an issue.
Yeah, which it doesn't. We hope and pray it doesn't cause an issue. Do you think Putin would take it too far and try to just... He says he's just going for those regions. And the region, maybe the regions around it, because he's already gone out of those. But do you think he'll take it too far and annex all of it and then keep going, if he can?
Like we were talking about, I really hope not.
Yeah, I mean, I really hope not, but do you think he will?
I don't know what the point would be to gain those extra land.
I guess he just wants it.
Yeah, I don't know if he thinks that the people want it. I did know that there was... I had someone in the last class looking up breaking news on the situation, and there was a protest, or at least one protest, in Moscow. Protesting Russia
protesting
going into
the Ukraine thing,
which I think got broken up probably pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see how the Russian people react.
Yeah, because to see all the majority rules.
To see if they are pro doing this or if...
For it. Or, yeah. For it or against it.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how the people of Russia react to the situation.
And I think that could end up influencing how it goes. Mm-hmm. Like, if they react strongly negative, Putin could, like, back down.
Right.
Back down a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's all we have planned for this episode.
All right. Well, remember this was fun. I enjoyed talking some history with
fun.
You. I appreciate you asking me. I hope I did well. And
yeah.
This was fun.
Yeah,
I'm proud
fun.
Of you for starting the podcast. That's awesome. Podcasts are big.
Yeah, they're like on Spotify specifically.
More and more popular.
Like Spotify specifically, in the last year, the 200% increase.
Yeah.
In listening to.
Oh yeah, podcasts are big. I listen to a number of podcasts.
Yeah, I listen to three or four.
Yep. So that's awesome that you're getting into it. It's awesome. I'm proud of you.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right.
But remember to follow, leave a review. It helps me out. And have a good day.